Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the magnificent Monday edition of The Yard. Day one of the Major League Baseball draft is in the book. We're going to break that down for you today. Going to preview a little bit of day two, kind of what we're expecting. You know, got a little bit of a surprise last night. Is Dakota Jordan was not taken. Got more on that a little bit later in the show. But that's a possibility that I don't think many people really embrace, including myself. I really thought the DJ would get the money he was asking for. And I can tell you, my sourcing on this is impeccable. Way back in the month of May, I was told directly that if Dakota didn't get what he wanted in the draft and what he wanted was significant, that there was a possibility that he'd come back. And I thought, there's no way that he won't get what he wants, considering the projectability of this young man. But he is only a sophomore. Some people kind of confuse that. They think, well, he's got to be a junior. No, he's only a sophomore. So he has another year of leverage to work with. And so that's something that is in our favor and his favor, I think, in many respects. I think he's a guy that can come back and potentially be a first-rounder next year. But I understand he wants first-round money, but we'll get to that later in the show. But, yeah, pretty good day when you really get to kind of break it down. Really a good day. You know, of course, you didn't want Dante Norrie to go in the first day, and but that happened, and that was always a possibility. He's the fastest high school player – the fastest player, period, in the draft. And he had a very significant number in mind, and he got that. At least he got the slot value. So we'll see how things go with that. So, yeah, we got it. And also a cool top 10 list today. Really proud of this one. Kind of some genre-bending types in this list this day. Excuse me, if I can get going. Wanted to get this show up for you before we got too deep in the day. Because the draft resumes at 1 p.m. Central. And, of course, we'll have full coverage over at jeanspage.com. And, you know, we're ready to go. And then also, you know, SEC Media Days begins today. We'll touch on that a little bit later in the show. Our Justin Frommer already on his way out there, if he's not there already. Dave Murray will join him for Mississippi State Day. And then we're going to be covering the draft on top of that and everything else that goes along with Mississippi State Athletics. And but this is a very significant week for your baseball program. And for a couple of reasons why. Number one, you hope that your signees come to school, right? There's always going to be most of them that do. But you'd like to be able to get to this thing without Conrad Kaysen being selected. No guarantee. You know, we've seen it happened many times, you know, and still no guarantee that DJ won't be selected. Maybe somebody the last night says, you know what, hey, we can't afford to let this guy get away and they'll overpay. But there is a bonus pool that they're limited to. And the slot values for day two, significantly less than day one. And so you would have to really commit and say, you know what, hey, I'm going to give a tremendous amount of money here and then short somewhere else. You know, that's always a possibility, but, you know, teams need players. So, and DJ is represented by Scott Boras. You know, so Boras is not a guy, number one, that needs DJ to sign so he can eat, right? I mean, he's one of the most powerful sports agents in the world. And he also understands that, you know what, hey, $1 million this year could turn into $4 million this time next year. And so you got to think about the big picture. So Jordan with great representation, just something to consider. But I don't think any of us really thought we'd be in a situation. Here we are on Monday, and Dakota Jordan is not already on a plane somewhere getting ready to get his picture made with his new jersey. I don't think anybody expected that to happen. Now, of course, there'll be some people with revisionist history, and so I never thought this, never thought that. But the reality of that is that Mississippi State could be in a situation where you get one of the top players in the country back on your baseball roster. And the second part of that equation is you want your draft eligible guys that are going to sign to go as high as they possibly can. And we've seen that happen with a couple guys that actually beat projections. And so we're going to break that down here in our first segment of the show. But before we do, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. I had Bulldog Burger Company last week. I'll have it again this week. The wife got those chicken bacon ranch sliders. I got the Bulldog. She said, you know, I'd like to get this. And again, even then, the portion, very substantial for lunch, ended up being a two-meal deal for her. It kind of helps being petite. But all that I understood, there's so many great options to choose from Bulldog Burger Company. It's not just burgers, even though that's what they're best known for. You know, I love those Sloppy Joe sliders. I like the Sweet Heat chicken sandwich. It's great, man. They do a great chicken sandwich there. And I know a lot of you are kind of chicken sandwich connoisseurs. If you haven't tried the chicken sandwiches at Bulldog Burger Company, let me suggest that you do. I think you're going to be very satisfied with that selection. I got the fries, too, and I tell you what, my dogs are happy when I get French fries because of the fact that there's so much of them. There's so many of them. The portion is so substantial. Then that means they get to eat some, too, and we have a little fun with that. Everybody has to sit and shake and all that good stuff. It's a good time. But one of the things I love most about Bulldog Burger Company is I always get more than my money's worth. Always. You can't say that about most places in any line of work, especially in a restaurant business. But you know what? Bulldog Burger Company has had integrity in pricing, integrity in portions. A lot of people out there charging you more and giving you less. That's just not the case at Bulldog Burger Company. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They will make you and everybody around you better looking. And consider getting that chocolate shake or that Nutella shake or that special shake to go so you can ride that ride home to work, back to work or home with a smile. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, got our trusty draft tracker in front of me. And again, some surprises, right? Some surprises. For the most part, and I give the guys that do this for a living, people like Jim Callis, they're always so close to reality. Like, their projections are very, very close, especially in this first round. There's always a little bit of ebb and flow, but it's pretty rare to see them have a big miss. But Travis Bazana, you know, from Oregon State, he had a run of great college players to open the draft. Chase Burns from Wake Forest goes number two. That may have been a surprise to some people, a little bit. Then Charlie Condon, of course, from Georgia, a guy at Mississippi State did a really good job pitching against. Credit to Justin Parker. Nick Hurts from Wake Forest goes. Hagan Smith, from Arkansas. Not a big surprise there. He was projected as a first-rounder out of high school. Jack Caglione goes to the Royals. Probably build some things around him. J.J. Weatherholt from West Virginia. Christian Moore, second baseman from Tennessee. And the thing about it is, you don't see a lot of second basemen go this early, and you had two in the top eight picks just because of their athleticism and offensive capabilities. Connor Griffin from Jackson Prep, the very first high school player taken in the draft. And I have seen some people that have kind of been up in arms. So why didn't he commit to us? We committed to LSU. He signed with LSU. Guys, it doesn't matter. We're very, very happy for Connor Griffin. But if he had signed with us, it'd be one more signee that we're, investing emotional energy in. It's not going to come to school. And it was so funny, too. I had somebody from LSU, from the LSU side, tried to argue with me a year ago that they would be able to come up with an NIL deal competitive enough to get Connor Griffin to go to school. I said, do you understand what you're saying? Will you shut your mouth? Connor Griffin's slot value is $6.2 million. There is no NIL deal in the history of the world that is competitive with that. And not to mention, what would he have to gain by going to college? He's the number 9 pick in the draft. Get over yourselves. And congratulations to the Griffin family. I had a chance to interview Connor a couple times through the process prior to his commitment to LSU. Had some interactions with his dad. They seem like great people. And it's a great thing. It is. It's a great thing when a young man from our state has the opportunity to be on the national stage and be the number one high school player selected in the Major League Baseball draft. Very, very, very significant. All right, some other names of interest. Braden Montgomery from Texas A&M. All the way down at number 12. A lot of people expected him to go top 10. So he goes 12. You know. We're talking a couple hundred thousand dollars either way here with each pick. But very happy for him. Another product of Central Mississippi. We'd love to have had him in the Mississippi State Maroon this year. But he ends up at A&M and has a great year. He does. All right, the first Bulldog selected with the 15th pick in the draft, the Seattle Mariners selected Gerangelo Sanchi. Absolutely love this. Slot value of $4.88 million. I had someone closely aligned to the situation that told me that they really thought he would go in the teens. Didn't know how deep. I had somebody connected with the Brewers organization that told me they would love to take him at 17. So it's not ultimately my decision, but I'm going to recommend that we take Gerangelo at 17. Of course, they drafted him in the 18th round back in 2022. So maybe a little bit ahead of projections. But, man, what a great thing there, because Mississippi State has to change the graphics of Duty Noble Field. And Gerangelo had told me, and maybe others, I can't remember, it all runs together after a while, that his plan was to sign, get settled for a year, and then work on getting his family out of Curacao and into the United States. That's a great, great thing, you know? And then now he has the ability to do that. That's a great thing. Very, very happy for him. And, of course, there were many people, once he committed to us, said he'll never come to school. He did. Had a tremendous year this year. And, very grateful. Very, very grateful to have shared the path a little bit with Gerangelo. I know you guys are as well. I know you're all beaming with pride today. We were on our way to dinner with some friends. And I'm not going to lie. When it popped up and said that he'd been drafted, I was pretty pumped up. Pretty pumped up. They had turned the radio down. You know, I was really, really excited for him. Interestingly enough, right behind Gerangelo is former Mississippi State commitment classmate, P.J. Morlando. And I remember last year when he decommitted, there were some people that absolutely lost their minds and tried to use that as ammunition to try to beat up Chris Lemonis and his staff. And P.J., of course, a high school player. And so wasn't in Gerangelo's class. I misspoke. But everybody was like, oh, this is it. This is the end of the road right here. And then I remember telling people then, this kid is never coming to school. It's never going to happen. Signs to South Carolina, and people didn't move on and forget, because their investment wasn't in P.J. Morlando. Their investment was in their narrative. And, of course, now P.J. Morlando, the 16th pick in the draft, slot value of $4.7 million. So guess what, kids? He's not coming to school. All right. Another interesting, Kem Caminiti, the son of Ken Caminiti, going to the Braves. Yeah, and then that's a 3.56 signing value there. All right. The 27th pick in the draft was spent on Dante Norrie of Northville High School, Mississippi State signee Dante Norrie. And we were hopeful we could get through day one. Now, here's some insider trading for you. Dante Norrie told some Mississippi State staffers last week. He goes, hey, I don't expect to be back next week. And then they made some contingency plans, and Dante was set to fly back to Mississippi today if he did not get drafted yesterday. Now, we all knew that if he got drafted first couple rounds that he was going to sign. Had he not been drafted, he's going to be Mississippi State. And he said, but Steve, if just because he's not drafted on day one, guys, when people tell them they're going to school, like if I don't get picked day one or day two, I'm going back to school, they don't get drafted unless he gets drafted like 18, 19th round just for the fun of it. But it was fun while it lasted. And it's interesting, too. Dante, his birthday is October the 7th, 2004. He's going to be 20 here in a couple months. almost, well, I guess better part of 3 months. And so there were a lot of teams out there that really trust their draft models when it comes to age. And we knew that there would be some teams that would pass on him because of that. But it's over now, right? We can kind of move forward now. And at the time, you start thinking, okay, well, now we got to pick up the pace on McCarty, right? The outfielder from Kentucky, and we still may, obviously. Little did we know at this point that Dakota Jordan wasn't going to be drafted, right? It's nobody expected us to be in this position. And maybe that's arrogant for me to say that. Maybe there were some people out there a little closer to him. But I'm just, by and large, the casual fan, like, you know, it's kind of a foregone conclusion that Dakota Jordan's going to be drafted early and signed. I think that was the consensus opinion. I think we'd all agree at that. All right, so you get your competitive balance picks, some compensation picks here and there, and you get to the second round. And one of the things that we had talked about, when I did my preview, I mentioned that there was some traffic out there that suggested that Cal Steven may actually go back into the second round. And I think I said on the show, I said, I think it'll end up being third round. Well, it ends up being second round. I mean, I'm glad we introduced the possibility, and I'm glad that things went better for him. But that is very significant, for sure. But before we get to that, Tommy White, of course, first pick of the second round. A lot of people were disappointed and surprised by that. You know, the question's about defense. Is he limited to designated hitter only? Can you make him a first baseman? Does he have the dexterity and the catch radius for that? I mean, he doesn't have the lateral mobility to play third. Everything to the left is good. Everything in front of him is good. But to the right, sometimes it's a bit of a challenge. And you're going to have a lot of guys with pull side power and been to big leagues. But congratulations to he and his family, for sure. But he's the first pick, the 40th pick overall, first pick of the second round. Chris Cortez from A&M, a guy that, you know, we actually have had some success against him. He goes at pick number 45. And MLB.com had him ranked as like the 85th best player in the draft. So this is a little bit of a reach, but you got to trust your evaluations. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, that's what you're paid to do, right? All right, so then we get to Cal Steven. Pick number 59. Now, again, I've reminded you guys, Cal committed to us July 31st of last year. After the Luke Holtmann stuff, because we were chasing Luke Holtmann, and we didn't get him. And that's one of the things that I want to talk about while we're together today is, you know, rankings, projections, that kind of stuff. All of that. It's just somebody's opinion, okay? So, Luke Holtmann got drafted behind Cal Steven. And that needs to be the Justin Parker story in every aspect. Not just did Cal Steven get drafted ahead of Luke Holtmann, he got drafted ahead of Gage Jump 2. And everybody was losing their minds. You know, most people had no clue who Gage Jump was. Let's just kind of, you know, we'll just call a shovel a spade here, right? Most people had no clue who Gage Jump was. And then he commits to LSU, and it was like, oh, well, you know, LSU's going to win it again. Guys, Luke Holtmann goes 71st. There were so many people that were really upset. Again, it kind of goes back to the Orlando thing. You know, it's like, you know, I'm unhappy. I'm going to make everybody else unhappy. We're rotten, you know. And Cal Steven, a guy that we waited on, waited to take, not only gets drafted higher, gets more postseason honors. And so if you're Justin Parker and you're Chris Simonis and you're everybody affiliated with Mississippi State Baseball, this is your story. And not just for the portal. Of course, I think the greatest impact is in the portal because you can just tell people, you know what, hey, everybody said Luke Holtmann was the best arm in the portal last year. Cal Steven was just kind of, okay. Well, look on draft day, see what happened. Cal Steven goes ahead of all of those LSU guys. And I know some of you think that I have been at times unfair to Thatcher Hurd. I haven't been. The numbers are the numbers. Cal Steven's better than him, too. Cal Steven at 59 to Toronto. That's a slot value of $1.49 million. So a nice little head start at life for Cal. But I think as big as it is for Cal, I think in some respects it's even bigger for Mississippi State. It's bigger for Justin Parker. Billy Amick left Clemson, went to Tennessee, won a national championship. He's a pick behind him. Dylan Dreiling, a guy that was really good for Tennessee and Omaha, he's the last official pick in the second round at 65. And, of course, there's some comp picks that come after that. You ever Googled yourself? You may be alarmed to know exactly how much of your private information and data is out there for anybody to access. Whether it be your phone number, your home address, or details about your family. It could be your kids' names, their ages. Whether you agree to this disclosure or not. And that's because data brokers are collecting and selling your information to marketers, scammers, and basically anyone willing to pay. It's the reason robocallers know your name, and while ads seem to follow you on every digital platform out there. Well, Aura fights back for you. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a data breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep all your logins safe. They even give you spam call protection to cut off those stupid scammers. Aura also scans the dark web regularly for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, passwords, and they will notify you instantly if you are somehow exposed. If your identity is ever stolen, you're backed up by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover everything quickly. Other services charge about the same, but they only cover one or two areas. With Aura, you get it all. Data broker removal, credit and identity monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all with one simple app. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what isn't, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That gives them plenty of time to go ahead and start protecting your data. They can remove your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are all safeguarded. That's Aura, aura.com/remove. Certain terms and conditions apply. Be sure and check it out today at aura.com.
Feeling sluggish from all the extra food, drinks, and celebrations? Kick off the new year with a science-backed reset. Quiksilver Scientific's PushCatch Liver Detox is a patented, simple two-step system that supports your liver, gut, and whole body detoxification, helping clear out what's slowing you down so you feel energized for the year ahead. It's more than a cleanse. Quiksilver Scientific's PushCatch Liver Detox helps reset your system. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
But I share that with you because we talk about promises. But it's interesting that, you know, Luke Coleman commits to LSU on July 27th. And we take Cal Steven 4 days later. And so no matter what anybody will try to say with a revisionist history, it is absolutely apparent that Cal Steven was kind of our plan B, right? It's like, hey, we're going to go all the way on Luke Coleman. If we don't get him, we'll take Cal Steven. And then we did. And it is a tribute and a testament to the hard work that Cal Steven has put in and the coaches around him to put him in a very good position to be successful. And I think that's the important lesson learned here too, to be quite honest with you, even for some fans. I've shared with you guys multiple times, the portal rankings are very much an inexact science. And then people get all fired up about it, and you're like, well, wait a minute. And it was so interesting, too. Cade Fisher, who committed to Auburn last week, and I understand Auburn presented a very, very lucrative package to do so. But a lot of people, when I first mentioned Cade Fisher as a possibility, people go immediately go look at the numbers. And they're like, Steve, there's no way we need to take this kid. But then all of a sudden, the guys at 64 Analytics, who I'm not being critical of, they're doing the best they can, trying to figure some things out in a brand new niche, shall we say. All of a sudden, Cade becomes the number one pitcher in the portal, and then the number one pitcher, or excuse me, number one player overall in the portal. Well, now all of a sudden, because somebody else has said it, it kind of like, oh, we got to get him. And then we don't, and we wanted him. I'm not going to sit here and say we did, and we did. People are like, well, we lose another high-profile thing. Well, what made it high-profile? You just told me a week ago the kid's numbers were terrible. But somebody else, a third party that you believe is objective, has kind of validated that this kid's pretty good. And so don't put too much emphasis and stock in these portal rankings. And again, that's not being critical. It's just such a new ranking system that's going to have to be tweaked. And they've even done it during the process. It's like, hey, we got to change this, change that. Those guys are doing the best they can. And it's a side job for them, okay? But I think it's important to understand your coaches, contrary to the vocal minority, know what they're doing, especially Justin Parker, right? And nobody had a better day yesterday than Justin Parker. You have your Saturday starter go with the 15th pick in the draft, who was a sophomore eligible player. And now you've had Cal Steven, your Friday night guy, go with the 59th pick in the draft. So you've had two guys in the top 60, both of which didn't have a great 2023. By the end of the year, when Durangelo lost his confidence, a lot of people worried you may go get in the portal. But everything worked out okay, right? And then now you go look at this and say, okay, the first day of the draft, we had two of our three guys from our initial weekend rotation get drafted. And you're going to have the other guy who many people believe might actually be the most competitive of those three, and they don't get drafted today. Don't know exactly when that's going to be, but yeah. So if you're a pitcher around the country, and if you're an agent around the country, because everybody has an agent these days, and it's permissible, but if you are sitting down with your client and says, okay, listen, we got 1 year to get this thing right. Hey, you got some ability. You had a good year. But, you know, look at what Justin Parker's doing at Mississippi State. Look at the difference in the money that he helped Cal Steven and Gerangelo Sanchi make. Of course, the kids have to go do the work, right? These young men have to go do their part. And how many times have you heard Gerangelo say, I just stick to the plan? Well, who do you think devises the plan? It's Justin Parker. Because Justin Parker, like just right now, Justin Parker, you know, I can assure you when he's not working through the recruiting aspect of this right now, he's already beginning to get his the early research done for his scouting reports for next year. Of course, the rosters aren't settled yet. But shortly after he got there, got to state last year, I went in to go talk to him, and he's already breaking down film. In August, right? And so you have one of the elite pitching coaches in college baseball. And now you have even more to sell. So what excites me about that is what can he do with some guys that perhaps have a higher ceiling? Have you considered that? I think Nate Dome, and I love Nate, huge Nate fan, not just as a player, but as a person. Nate's a guy, you know, if he stays healthy, it's going to be impossible to keep him out of the big leagues. I mean, he's just that kind of guy, right? He's just one of those kinds of people. You got him from Ball State, and people are like, this is what we're doing in the portal. Do you feel silly in hindsight? If you don't, you should. If you were one of those kinds of people that panned the Nate Tome commitment out of Ball State 2 years ago, I can't believe it's what we're doing. It's incredible how the internet has put a microscope on people's true knowledge base. There are a lot of people out there that continue to lie and, you know, suggest, but you know, you just got to be patient. But the reality of this thing is that I began to think about, you know, Nate probably going, what, you know, I would say between third and fifth, maybe sixth. I doubt he drops that far. You know, of course, the health concerns are going to, you know, there are going to be some people out there say, hey, you know, got injured back-to-back years, didn't prove to be serious, but he did miss some starts. You know, and I say serious, didn't require surgery. Anytime that you get injured, you can't perform, it's serious, right? But you don't have the promise anymore. You've got production you can point to. I think that's an incredible thing that I think about is, let's just assume here that you're right, right? Let's assume that Nate Tome was not a great pick out of Ball State. Let's assume that Cal Steven was not a great pick out of Purdue. But look at what's happened. So either, and I guess maybe both these things could be true. Maybe we made some incredibly bad portal evaluations, but we had good enough coaching to overcome that. Or maybe these guys were better portal commitments than many of you thought, and they still got better. You can choose whichever line of thinking you want to go with. But you can't sit back here and say that these young men weren't great, good players and became great players at Mississippi State, and that your coaches didn't do a good job getting them and helping them develop. And you may disagree. Everybody's like, well, Steve, I'm going to sit here with my blanket, and I'm going to sit here and put my thumb in my mouth, and I'm going to continue to hang on to my old tired narrative, no matter what you say. Okay. That's cool, too. What did Major League Baseball say? You know what? I think they know more about baseball than both of us. So I'm going to go with them, even though they're the ones that validate kind of the true opinion and the true take about Bulldog baseball right now. So expecting a busy day today, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But now let's get to today's top 10 list. Brought to you, as always, by closewithblair.com, C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. It's true. And maybe he's a friend you haven't met yet because you hadn't needed to deal with a mortgage. So if you're looking to maybe get started in life, maybe you're a recent college graduate, maybe you found your niche and where you want to put your feet in the ground. Maybe you're like, you know what, Steve, I don't want to rent. I know I'm going to be here for at least a couple years. Maybe you buy that condo. Instead of just throwing money away, all you got to hold is some rent receipts when you're done. Allow yourself to build up some equity if you're ready to plant some roots. Or maybe you've gotten married. Maybe you've gotten divorced. Maybe there's been a reset in your life. And you got to think about, you know what? I got to take the next step, as difficult as it may be. Allow Blair to take that off your plate. One last thing to worry about, right? Blair's phone number is 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Call or text him directly today. 23 years of experience in the industry. Back-to-back-to-back top 1% close ratios in the country. This is a guy that gets things done. Been my friend a long time. I wouldn't push him on you if I didn't trust him, if I didn't believe him. You should. It can be a very intimidating process. You need somebody with the experience and the expertise to get you through underwriting and to the closing table with the best deal possible. Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. All right, it hit me this morning. We're calling an audible, even though we've got some things stacked up for us. I'm happy that our guys are getting paid. Don't know how you see it. You know, we talk about NIL and that sort of stuff, and I understand that's the world we live in, but I love draft day. I love to see our players, the ones that have worn the maroon and white, have the opportunity to fulfill their dreams and have a chance to take care of their families and get a head start at life. It's good to see their hard work pay off. And it's also good to see them get paid. It is. So I thought, you know what? Hey, let's do a top 10. Songs about money. Songs about getting paid in some way or another. So here we go. This is one of the most diverse lists we've ever had. And no heavy metal on this one. It's a hard rock song, but no heavy metal on this one. Number 10, and this is just, I wanted to include the song because I like the song. Many of you maybe have heard it for the first time here. First mentioned it here. I like it. I still pull it up every once in a while. And I've listened to the whole album. The rest of the album is just not as good. It's not. There's a couple good songs on there, but they're very much a one-hit wonder, and it wasn't a big hit. But it's a song that I really like. I think you'll like it too. It's from State of Shock, and the song is called Money Honey. If I had more money, honey, would you love me? Love me, love me. Yeah. If I was just somebody like me, that's your number 10 song. And so there's going to be a lot of guys that, you know what? They couldn't get dates. They couldn't get the dates they wanted years ago, you know, coming up. And, you know, maybe being that high school senior, maybe being that college freshman. You go to a party, and you don't know how to dress. You don't know how to act. Maybe you don't have any game, but you can play a little ball, right? You're going to be amazed, young man, at how many people, how many girls from your past show back up. Now all of a sudden, it's like, I always thought you were so cute. Yeah. Number 9. Reminiscent of the Iron Bowl several years ago. And if I can opine about this for a second here, and for those of you at Alabama, if you really fired that kid that played Son of the Preacher Man and Take the Money and Run in the opening moments of the Iron Bowl, I guess during pregame warm-ups, if you really fired that kid, I really have lost respect for you. What does a song hurt anybody? Not to mention, the Steve Miller Band is iconic. And so that's where we go. Number 9, the Steve Miller Band. Take the Money and Run. And that's a great one, you know. And it's a great song for crowds because it's got clapping in it too, right? We can all jump on there and clap along, you know. Young people of today, if you haven't listened to the Steve Miller Band, let me encourage you to do so. It's just kind of straight ahead rock and roll. It's true. Now, speaking of rock and roll, and many of you would have this song higher on your list, and I encourage you to start your own show, build a following, and then you can do that. But I'm not a huge Pink Floyd fan. I know some of you are. When I listened to Pink Floyd years ago, I was under the influence, and maybe you were too. I don't know. But I have recovered from Pink Floyd as well. But it's the song Money from Pink Floyd, number 8 on our list today. Number 7. This will make John Cohen happy. I absolutely love the cover of this version, too. There's been several covers of this, but we got to go back to the original. We got to go back to the OJs, For the Love of Money. Absolutely phenomenal song, and even the Bullet Boys covered this on, I guess it was the debut album, now that I think about it. I was thinking it was going to be on Freak Show, but I think it's a debut album. Yeah, debut album, which is great. You can go back and revisit that one. It's a little bit sleazy at times. I like F Sharp 9. That's probably my favorite track on there. Smooth Up, of course, is great. I don't want to get too deep into reeds here, but the OJs, For the Love of Money. That is a great, great, great song in the old basically Motown sound. It's absolutely phenomenal, and the words have been howling. So it's number 7 for you today. Number 6, a band that we joke about at times on the show, and it's the Pet Shop Boys. They're in at number 6. Sometimes I say that, and it's like, you know, it's not correct, you know. But I say that as a tease. But this time it is. The Pet Shop Boys, it's a song called Opportunities, you know. I've got the brains. You've got the looks. Let's make lots of money, right? That's what it's about. And it's there's a dance version of it. It's super cool. And so if you don't know the Pet Shop Boys, and I joke about this at times on Twitter when I'm kind of making fun of people, and maybe I shouldn't do that. The bride has told me before, if you can't make it funny, don't do it. And I used to absolutely, some of you remember this, I used to absolutely destroy Ole Miss people on Twitter. I did. Like if somebody came at me, I would absolutely destroy them on Twitter for what that's worth, right? Right. I mean, some people are like, oh, that's so savage. Let me tell you this. A lot of people have Twitter fingers, you know, they have Twitter courage, but there are things that they would say and do on Twitter they would never do or say in person. If I will tweet it, I will say it. Sometimes we get too caught up in that. But there are some people out there putting out some really, really stupid things on social media. I'm going to talk a little bit about that before we get out of here today, too. But it's Pet Shop Boys Opportunities number 6. Number 5, and this is maybe a song that many of you have never heard. If you grew up in my generation, you've heard it. It was a huge, like if you listen, remember Power 108 down on the coast? You know, it used to irritate me. They would say, here comes a power pack of, you know, Debbie Gibson and Tiffany and some boy band. Nothing powerful about that at all. But they loved it and they played with it, right? This is a song they played in rotation regularly. And it's a song called I Want to Be Rich from Calloway. I Want to Be Rich. Number 5 on your list. Number 4. This is a song that got played and actually covered by NSYNC. And so whoever was managing NSYNC at the time, it's great. It was a great decision. It's a great cover, but it's not as good as the original. We're going back to the old school. It's Johnny Kemp's I Just Got Paid. I don't know what it is about that song. Even to this day, that thing holds up. It's like when it first opens up and that bass line starts, it makes you want to move. Makes you want to go to the skating rink, folks. It does. An amazing track. And Johnny had a couple hits, but Just Got Paid. That's, you know, especially for those of us that had part-time jobs back then, it was so great to get that paycheck on Fridays every other week. Great. Run to Walmart and blow it all on CDs. Number 3, this is a song that we've had on the show before. I absolutely love it, man. I love the vocal on this, and there is just an authenticity in this. Like, that's one of the things like, I like about rhythm and blues, right? Not just the modern-day R&B, but people that actually maybe kind of lived it, you know? But it's Barrett Strong's song, Money. You know, the best things in life are free, you know? I want some money. That's what I want. And the I like the harmonies on the chorus here. You've heard this song probably 10,000 times in your life. But I'm really glad that some of our people have been taken care of. Number 2, changing our attitude, our delivery, and our level of reverence here. It's the Wu-Tang Clan. It's Cash Rules Everything Around Me. It's true. You know how life works? Anytime that we can work in the Wu-Tang Clan is a good thing, too. But number 1 on our list, and maybe your lists are different, we had to get some rock in here, but it's AC/DC's Money Talks. And the vocal on this one is, you could start to tell that Brian's fading a little bit. You know, when this came out, we were kind of like, ugh. Yeah, yeah, but you kind of got used to it. The smoker's rasp has kind of wreaked havoc on Brian over the years. But that's our list today. And I'm very, very happy again that our young people have come to Mississippi State and they have used that opportunity to give themselves a head start at life and to fulfill their dreams. And there's so much of that that I think we lose sight of, right? We forget sometimes that they're people. We think sometimes that they're characters in a play. Are there video game players? But if you really dig into this, and Dan and I talked about this yesterday on our way to dinner, when you get a chance to spend some time around them, and I don't just mean in press conferences, you know, when you get a chance like to talk to the families, the parents, and you understand the commitment that's been made from everybody involved, and you see post-game, when they're out there talking with their families, you can see the emotional theater kind of playing out there. You know, because it's not just about a game. And it's not just about Mississippi State. You know, it's about their futures. And there are some people that do not handle this part of it well. You know, the draft jumps on their back and kind of rides them the whole year. And you can see it in their countenance on the field, off the field. You can see it when they're talking to their family. You know, mom and dad and everybody's like, hey, it's all going to be okay. But as I mentioned last week, there's a lot of these people, a lot of these young men that their families have made a very significant financial investment in their future. And that's riding on their shoulders too, because they want to make that investment mean something. They want to play pro ball. They want to get an opportunity to do that. They want to be self-sufficient. They want a chance to go to the show. And to watch it play out like this is interesting. You know, and it's different in football and basketball. It is, right? The end result's the same, but there aren't as many guys that get drafted, right? And so when you get here and you're playing men's basketball, I mean, you're talking a two-round draft. You may get G League or whatever, but the reality of it is that, you know, chances of you being a first-rounder in the NBA, probably the longest shot in all sports. You know, a lot of international players do it, you know. To be a first-rounder in the NFL, there's an awful lot of players competing for that too. But, you know, you get in the right conference, you get in the right system, you got a chance, still very difficult. And maybe you don't be a first-rounder in baseball. And because of the fact now that it's just a 20-round draft, it used to be 40, there's even more pressure, right? When before, it'd be like, hey, you know, I'm a junior, whatever. I get drafted 35th round. I'll take my, you know, $10,000 and I'll head off to the short season. But you can kind of see it. You can kind of see it playing out. Not to mention, you know, baseball is a partial scholarship sport, so you're paying to play. Unlike your football and basketball counterparts, you're paying to play. And hopefully you have an opportunity. And it's good to see that be rewarded. It's not going to pay off for everybody, right? Just how life works. If it was easy, everybody would have it. Everybody would get it. But I thought we would do something today to kind of, you know, hey, let's celebrate the fact that we've had a couple of our Diamond Dogs, you know, sign for some big money. Very, very happy for everybody involved, and I know you are as well. It's going to be a busy day today. It's one of the reasons we're getting the show up. And a reminder, we'll do Wednesday's show after the draft is over. So we're doing today to recap day one, kind of preview a little bit of day two, and talk about some other things, and then we'll come back on Wednesday after the draft is over. And it won't be very late. It's rapid fire, right? And then we'll recap the draft. So if you don't have time to keep up, you can come to jeanspage.com. We'll keep you updated over there. I've got a draft tracker that we're tweeting out after every pick that involves Mississippi State. So if you see that pop up on your Twitter feed, and it's in the Facebook groups too, but we are updating it periodically as picks come in. So maybe you don't have time to keep up during the workday today, but we will do our best to keep you apprised of any developments. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit us up on social media. Roy is on Twitter, or X, whatever you call it, at Dogmatic67, DawgMatic67. You can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. And I'm on all forms of socials at ScoutSteveR. Be sure to hit me up. If you're not following me on Twitter right now, what are you doing with your life? All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart. Chances are you do too. If you don't, it's because you haven't utilized their services yet. I love going in there. So many great things to peruse and be excited about, look at, and just pick up and get your house in order, right? It doesn't matter if you're updating your wardrobe, decorating your fan cave, buying a gift for a friend as a housewarming gift. They have something to fill that need for you. Go by and see them next time you're in town. If you can't make it to town, perhaps you live in the mission field outside of God's country, you can visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, you give you a phrase that pays. Promo code is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Mom, college football season is going to be here next year. You want your kids to be excited. You want your husband or your significant other to be excited. Let's get some Mississippi State gear. Surprise everybody with a gift just because. Just because you love them. And buy something for yourself, too. All right. All right, so everybody wants to know what to expect on day two. We expect a busy day. We really do. Now, Nate Dome, I think that is the most probable pick today. As I've mentioned, I don't think he, you know, gets deep into the day. I think probably around fourth or fifth round. I think we'll see him go possibly as late as the sixth. And we'll keep an eye on Dakota Jordan. And as I'm sitting here having this show, I had to pause the show. Got some text messages, some clubs out there that are moving on from Dakota Jordan because of signing bonus demands. It is clear, because he has great representation, that he has a number in mind, and if somebody's not willing to hit that number, he's going to come back. That's something, again, we did not forecast, but here we are. Another name to watch, of course, Dave Merchant. Dave Merchant is draft eligible. Dave also has 2 years of eligibility left. Dave's also a guy that this time next year could be a Mississippi State graduate. So he's another guy that's not going to sign for just peanuts. But I don't know exactly what his asking price is. But I have had a couple of scouts tell me that he's not going to get what he's expecting or what he's demanding at this point. Would he be willing to sign for less? Not exactly sure. But if you begin to think about that for a second, if you could get through this entire process and you get Dakota Jordan and Dave Merchant back with what you have returning and what you're bringing in from the portal and in the signing class, all of a sudden you get awfully optimistic about next year. At least I do. Then you begin to work through Conrad Kasem. That's the top-rated prep prospect remaining in the Bulldog class. I think he's 102. And so he may be a guy that you got to be careful too, because, like, again, Scott Boras is Dakota Jordan's agent. So he understands how this process works. Not to say that Conrad Kasem's agent doesn't. That's not what I'm trying to suggest. But I don't know who his representation is. But you could see a situation there where maybe they make an emotional decision. That's what you got to watch. Of course, we're working hard, to ensure that everybody understands what their opportunities are here. Kasem's a guy too, one of the younger players in the draft, could probably benefit by coming to school. But a very gregarious and outspoken young man, has been a leader in your class. You'd love to be able to get him into fall classes. He did report on the 5th, and so he has been here for summer school. Many of those guys are like, hey, I'm going to wait out the draft and see what happens. But today is a huge day for this program because of the fact that you've got some guys out there, like Charlie Foster. That's another one that it could be a possibility. It's a guy that got invited to the MLB Combine. And that's the first thing that I go back to. When you look at these prep guys, we had 4 of our high school commitment / signees that were invited to the MLB Combine. You don't get invited to the MLB Combine if there's not legitimate interest in being drafted by pro clubs. There are some guys that will just pass on the combine. Others go for the experience and have every intention of coming to school. Gerangelo was at the combine 2 years ago. Dakota Jordan has had these workouts before. Charlie Foster, Cade O'Leary, Dante Norrie, Conrad Kasem were your 4 prep prospects that all attended the MLB combine. And then you had junior college pitcher Kevin Minnell. That's another name to watch for today. Kevin Minnell, too, is a guy, too, that could be a factor on the weekends, could be a long relief guy, could be in competition for a weekend starting position. Pico Kahn, right now, I would say, based on what we know and what we think, Pico is probably the Friday night guy to beat. We expect Pico to have a big year if he comes back. And I've got a lot of confidence that he will. I don't think Pico's a guy that's going to go early today, but there's always that possibility. You got to think about that aspect of it. Connor Hyzak, I suspect that he will get drafted today because he has no leverage, and he is a pro prospect. He is a guy with obviously with a pro body style, but also too a guy that can hit the baseball and play multiple positions for you. Probably a left fielder in the show if he makes it that far. But you can draft a guy like him that has no leverage, and even though the slot value may be $700,000, $500,000, you can pay him $25,000 and then bankroll the rest of that into keep it in your bonus pool, and then you can overpay slots somewhere else. That's very significant. And so that's something to watch. Brooks Auger, of course, could be a guy that, what happens with Brooks if he's a day three guy? Does he come back? I don't know. I think he would love to sign, but does he get the opportunity to sign? All of a sudden, if he goes 13th, 14th round, so there are no established slot values for day three. And what if Mississippi State says, hey, listen, we'll give you $100,000 to come back. But we'll give you $75,000 to come back. Then you can kind of double dip. You come back, and then maybe you improve your draft stock next year. But it's a rarity to see guys that are rising seniors to come back. But with NIL, it makes it more of a possibility. That's to be understood. Colby Holcomb is a guy that we could see go today. And as soon as I put that out there, some of our fans are like, oh, I just don't see it. Well, the Major League Scouts do. What would you like me to tell them? Right? They see a guy with a big league body, big league arm strength that may just need to fine-tune some things. And listen, we talk about all the great success stories under Justin Parker. The thing with Holcomb just didn't work out. And maybe it's a situation where Colby had the draft in his mind every time he towed the rubber, and maybe that impacted his performance this year. He's had some good moments, and he's had some moments that are forgettable. And how many times last year did we put him in, and all of a sudden you give up a home run? A lot of people can hit the fast, flat fastball. And, again, maybe another year working with Parker makes a difference with him. But if he gets drafted, he's certainly going to sign. There's no question about that. And so that begins to, leak into, what else is there? What is Tyler Davis? He's a left-hander that can spin a breaking ball. Does he go today? Does he go tomorrow? I think he probably gets selected at some point. He was really, really good in SEC play. And so you start working through that aspect of it, and you begin to think, okay, well, there's some guys that maybe we expected to sign that don't sign. Carson Liggett, I'm told, is going to ask for more money than probably his slot value will allow. You can't bank on that. Let's just say somebody calls him up and says, hey, here's $100,000 once you sign a contract and let's go play ball. And he may decide, you know what, I can sign for $100,000 now, or I can sign for $10,000 next year. That's how significant the year-to-year deal is for juniors to seniors. I've told you guys before on this show, we've had people in the past, back when the draft was 40 rounds, sign $1,500. It's a much different dynamic these days with a 20-round draft. The contracts are a lot more lucrative. And there will be some guys, too, that if there's some bonus pool money available, get drafted and signed. Remember Carter Young a couple years ago, transferred to LSU, was not good at Vanderbilt, and transferred to LSU, and people acted like he was going to be the next Cal Ripken or something. And then he gets drafted late and gets paid significantly and elects to sign a pro contract. And so missed out on a chance to win a national championship. Of course, he loses to Mississippi State in 21 and is not on the 2022 or 2023 LSU team. And so I share that because there is still a lot of ebb and flow and things we have to work out with this draft. But, of course, all eyes right now are on Dakota Jordan, and then I would say Conrad Kaysen. I think, again, it's a foregone conclusion in my mind that Nate Dolm goes fairly early here on day two. But, Hunter Hines, another guy, too, that we expect him to go. I've had some people that have asked me, what's Hunter Hines going to do? I expect Hunter to sign, and maybe he doesn't get the money that he initially expected, but I don't think he chances it by coming back, because he really has nothing to gain by coming back. For you and for me, we'd love to have him back, right? Have that big left-handed power bat. He had some ups and downs this year, and there was some stretch there where you couldn't even pitch to him. But, he's a guy that we fully expect to sign. And I expect that he will probably go today. I'm not exactly sure where, probably round 6 through 9. But you never know what a team is dealing with and how they plan to manage their bonus pool. But it has been a good start. Of course, your best case scenario is Dante Norie wouldn't have been drafted. And what's interesting, too, that he was ranked, 48th, 49th, and he ends up being a first-round pick. So it's a little bit of a reach, I guess. But at the end of the day, MLB scouts aren't just depending on MLB.com to rank players. They trust their own evaluation. They have interviews with players. But this is moving day in many respects. So basically, today is going to determine a lot about what your team looks like next year. That's how significant it is. Now, the good thing is, by the time that we get together again on Wednesday, Chris Lemonis and the Bulldog staff will have a really good idea of how things look. I shared this on Twitter, and somebody sent the laughing emoji, that kind of stuff. It's like, you're not making me look silly, you're making yourself look silly. If Dante Norie doesn't get drafted, you don't need a center fielder because you have one. Well, Dante Norie did get drafted. Well, Dakota Jordan hasn't so far. If Dakota can't come to terms with the team and likes to come back, then you don't need another offensive bat. You don't need another outfielder. You might take one just because you're being greedy a little bit. But we got a huge roster as it sits right now. And so we're not going to take a kid just so we have to cut a kid, right? We're always going to be trying to upgrade our talent level. But if Dakota Jordan comes back, Dakota is your center fielder. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's to be expected. That's to be understood. And again, we never thought we'd be having this discussion. Now, Wednesday, things may be completely different. I mean, the first pick in the third round, somebody say, I can't believe this guy is still available. Let's go get him what he wants. It's going to be difficult to do. People aren't going to go triple and quadruple to slide value in the third round and give you first round money unless they absolutely believe in you, because basically it makes everybody else more difficult to sign because you've got a very finite amount of money to work with in your draft pool. Everybody has an established bonus pool, and you can't go over that. You can go over slot, but you can't go over your bonus pool. And so let's say, for an example, you're looking at slot values for today, and I'm so glad they do this. It makes it so much easier to deal with. It really does. So let's skip ahead to round three here. So the first pick in the third round is the Oakland A's. The slot value is 1.04. Once you get three picks in to the third round, the slot value dips below $1 million. That's a significant threshold right there. I just don't think Dakota Jordan's going to sign for less than $1 million. And again, we went through this with Blaze here a couple years ago, and then all of a sudden the Red Sox, who have plenty of money and they're willing to work some things around, that they took him. So I feel like if you can get through round three, I think you feel really good about the prospects of Dakota Jordan coming back. That takes you to pick number 103. The slot value that ends round three is $710,000. You simply never know how a team's going to react. But there may be somebody, there may be some general manager right now over breakfast with their scouts saying, hey, listen, we didn't think Dakota Jordan would still be available at this point. Let's take him. How do we make the finances work? Those are things you begin to ask yourself. Now that there has been the chance to regroup and reevaluate what's remaining on the board, does Dakota Jordan go early in the third round and well above slot value? That's a significant question right now. And it's one worth asking. It's absolutely one worth asking. And there's some personal issues for Dakota, too. Dakota doesn't just want to leave. That's one of the things I think that there's some misinformation out there. Even on my own message board, I've read people, I don't get the sense that he enjoys playing college baseball. He loves playing college baseball. He loves being at Mississippi State. He's got a young lady that he's very serious about. And if you've ever been young and in love, you don't want to be apart from them. And so that's a factor, too, that I don't think that you know, that shows up for a lot of people. And they say, well, we remember Dakota Jordan being upset, right? Or Dakota Jordan having a moment perhaps when, you know, he looked a little bit moody. But I can tell you from people that are around the program every single day, you know, Dakota's the guy in practice. Dakota's the guy on game day that's getting everybody fired up. This kid loves playing baseball. He loves playing baseball. And you know, and if he was represented by some small-time agent, I would say, you know what, there's a lot to worry about today. There's still some things to worry about. But the fact that he has Scott Boras as his agent is very significant. Very, very, very significant. Because he understands the bigger picture. He understands what's best for his clients. And so I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I expect him back. But if you get through the first couple of rounds today and he's unselected, remains unselected, I think it's fair to say that he's back. And I've had some people ask me, well, what would that mean? Well, the portal's closed, right? So he can't go get in a transfer portal. He doesn't sign a pro deal. Well, if he wants to play baseball, he's got to come to Mississippi State, which is what he wants to do. And what's so interesting about that, too, is my source on this is Dakota Jordan. I don't know who your sources are or who your source's sources are. My source is Dakota Jordan. And so I share that with you, but I think it's important to understand there's a lot of people out there that have kind of framed up a narrative that's completely untrue about Dakota Jordan. You know, he did not just come to Mississippi State just to improve his draft stock. He came to Mississippi State, and he had plenty of opportunities to go elsewhere because he loved Mississippi State. He wanted to wear the M over S. And you forget, last year, he went in the transfer portal, had some people in his ear that said, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. He goes in a portal, and again, people lose their minds, and rightfully so. Of course, those same people, you know, couldn't wait to track his strikeout ratio this year. That's a story for another day. And then Dakota Jordan wasn't even in the portal for 24 hours. He pulled out. Got to break that news myself. And so he's picked Mississippi State twice. Is it unreasonable to think that he wouldn't pick Mississippi State again? You know, maybe we need to open the door to the possibility that Dakota Jordan loves Mississippi State. That's important to understand. It would have been very easy for Dakota Jordan to have stayed in the portal and probably gotten a really big payday last year. You know, he could have gone to Georgia and probably gotten six figures plus, but he didn't. And he told me later. He goes, man, it was crazy. And he goes, the more those teams called, the more I realized that I wanted to stay at Mississippi State. So he calls Chris Simonis and says, hey, I'm coming on the portal. And so if Dakota Jordan signs today, it's going to be because one of two things has happened. Someone's met his asking price, or he's been able to take a reduction in his asking price. It's got nothing to do with his talent. And that's one of the things that I've seen out there, and it really kind of makes you look silly. Dakota Jordan remains on the board because he's asking for more money than people were willing to give at the time. It's got nothing to do with his talent level. It's got nothing to do with his pro potential. Is that he had a number in mind, and he goes, hey, this is my number. Now, Scott Boras may get a call from the Oakland Athletics today, which would be, you know, very out of character from them. They say, hey, listen, we love Dakota Jordan. Even though we only have about 10, 15,000 fans in the ballpark each week, or each game, we'll give him $3 million. We'll give him $2.5 million. Kansas City, another small market team. Colorado, yeah, another small market team. You know, would the White Sox do it? I mean, it'd be one thing if the Yankees were doing it. You know, the Mets are right there at 82. Would the Mets be willing to do that? You know, would they be willing to give him $2.5, $3 million? Yeah, in this respect, Dakota Jordan holds all the cards because he's like, hey, I'm a sophomore. I got another year. I can go back to Mississippi State, cut down on my strikeout ratio a little bit, and possibly be a first rounder next year. So you can get me now at, say, $2.5, $3 million, or you can draft me next year and it costs you $4 or $5 million. or I'll just go back to school. And so that's the whole point of leverage. What is Dakota Jordan's junior year worth to Dakota Jordan? It's not like he is a junior that basically say, I got to kind of take what they're giving me because next year I've got no leverage. He holds all the leverage and all the cards. And he loves Mississippi State. It's not like he's in a bad situation. He's probably in the best situation of anybody. You know, Mercer's in a similar situation. The dollars just aren't the same, right? And so Mershon can be like, you know what? Hey, guys, I'm going to go back to school. This is the number I have in mind. I also have good representation. If you're not willing to meet this number, then I'm going to go back to Mississippi State and see if I can't win an AFL championship and improve my draft stock, and then I'll just get paid more money next year because I still have a year of leverage to work with. He's just a sophomore too. And so you kind of got to understand how the whole process works. And again, it's not an indictment on either one of their abilities if they don't get drafted. Like we've got some high school signees that have a ton of potential. They may not get drafted. It doesn't mean they're not any good. You don't get invited to a Major League Baseball combine just because you're cute, because your mom's cute. You know, it's not like travel team baseball where you make the team because your mom's hot. Right? That little privilege runs out pretty quick. And you don't think that's the truth, you're kidding yourself. I'm just going to tell you how it is, right? You get down to it, there's three or four players, and it's like, man, they're comparable in ability. What do you think? Well, that mom's hot. Let's take her. Let's take them. You say, but Steve, that sounds so silly. That's how life works. That doesn't happen with pro teams. They don't care about that. It's what can you do to help us win a world championship, period. And so it's important for our fans to kind of understand that we may have some guys that are MLB draft worthy that don't get drafted. And I know what's going to happen as soon as we get done with the draft, we're going to have people, we only had two guys drafted. Well, this is not like the draft in the 60s and 70s, you know, where you had 1,000 picks. And it was a rite of passage, right? I wrote that article about our very first class. In 1965 was the first year of the first year player draft. We had five players drafted. Did you know that? And none of them signed. And so people were like, hey, well, we must be great. Well, we did go win back-to-back SEC championships with them. And we had the winter draft back then. There was a lot to it. It's a different draft these days. There's only 20 rounds, and teams are penalized if they don't sign their top 10 picks. And so they're going to come to terms, and if there's somebody out there like a Dakota Jordan, it's like, no, I'm not willing to sign for that. And I think the longer it goes, probably the more, you know, resolute you get in that, it gets easier to say no once you start saying no. You've heard that about life, right? Maybe the first time you get that phone call, you know, that's why it's good to have a good agent. You know, you may have somebody that says, hey, we're picking here in two picks. We're going to give you $1.2 million. Will you take it? Yeah. Well, what if your value is $2.5 million and you just signed for half of your value? You never make that money up. And so these are dollars that you and I, these are decisions we never have to make. But I think it's important for us to understand that day one went really well. Really well. Because you're basically, at this point, you enter day two and it's like, oh, we lost Dante Norrie, but we didn't lose Dakota Jordan. And among those two, if you had to make that trade, do you take the guy with 2 years of SEC experience under your belt that led you in every offensive category, or do you want a high school senior? And that's not a shot at Dante Norrie. Dakota Jordan is the more proven commodity. Who can play center? That's an easy call. And so when you look at it in that aspect of it, it's like, yeah, you love that Dante Norrie came to school, but there's like a hidden bonus in all this that you may get Dakota Jordan back. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. I encourage you, Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Google it. And when you do, their Facebook page is going to come up, and you can peruse the pictures and all the fine selections that are available to you there. You get the great back porch area. I belabor that point because until you've been out there and experienced it yourself, you don't know. It's very, very roomy, spacious, open. You can sit out there with a friend, a loved one, a group of people. You can play cards, enjoy an adult beverage, watch the sunset. It is a great place to end your day. Also, that great fire pit area, the wet bar, full service kitchen. So you can go out there and just go to, you know, run to the grocery store and stock up and everybody take turns cooking. You can just be a recluse if you want to. And let me encourage you too, if you hadn't done so, think about maybe that pre-back to school trip. You know, maybe you can't afford to do a whole lot this year. You know, I don't know, maybe you've got some things going on in your life and you just can't afford, you know, to take that trip to California or, you know, the Key West or whatever. Think about a staycation. Get the cousins together. Get the sisters together. Get the friends, the family together at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, which is the best place to bring a large group in the Golden Triangle, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, you're going to get some booking options. You're going to get Airbnb, VRBO, and you're going to get Evolve. Now, you can book whichever site you want to, but if you book through Evolve, I can save you some money. Use promo code BSR10. BSR10, BSR10, the number 10, BSR10 gets 10% off your stay. So just by listening to the show, you're saving some money to stay at a great venue and have some great times with great friends or family. Be sure and check it out today. Okay, I would be remiss. I don't do a lot of political talk on the show, but there are a couple things that I'd like to say today. First of all, let me tell you this. I love each and every one of you. And the chances of all of us getting together and having a conversation that lasts, I don't know, an hour and us agreed on everything is pretty slim, right? Especially if we talk about real issues. It's one thing if we just all sit around talking about a ball game, and even that sometimes brings up some disagreements. It may not be very spirited disagreements, but it does. For the most part, I try to be very apolitical on the show. We have gone through something very significant, and I don't want to oversell it, and I also don't want to diminish it either. As a kid, I remember when Reagan got shot. I remember how traumatic that was as a kid. John Hinckley goes up trying to impress Jodie Foster, and I don't know why he ever thought that would work, and he shoots Ronald Reagan. And that was really his motivation. The fact there was some mental illness involved. And I'm not going to make jokes about any of that stuff because it's a very real thing. But I remember being a young person, it rocks you a little bit, right? And, of course, our parents, of course, as Axl Rose so succinctly put, you know, first memories, they shot Kennedy, you know. And there are a lot of people to this day that believe that was a, you know, coup d'etat. I think the Oliver Stone JFK movie is worth your time. I think there's probably some things in there that make a lot of sense. But all that I understood, there's a couple things that I want to say. Number one, this is not a Democrat or Republican issue. This is a good and evil issue. This is a right or wrong issue. And it's interesting that I've seen so many people out there basically committing career suicide with their hot takes. You know, and I can tell you, these are the kinds of things that when you go apply for a job and maybe you're a college student and you're kind of naive and you think that, you know, the world's not paying attention to you. Maybe they're not today, but when you go apply for that first job and maybe you make the list of finalists and you get that second interview, they're going to go scrub. They're going to go scour your social media. People don't want to deal with people that can't be a professional. And that's the thing that really stands out to me through all of this, is why can't we just be professional? You know, what happened, no matter what you think about either political party, this can't happen. And the thing that's so incredible to me is anytime something like this happens, whether there's a shooting somewhere, you know, which is incredibly tragic, the very first thing that some people do is they run to social media to try to find this person and say they were Republican or Democrat. And let me tell you this, that's crazy. That's crazy thinking. As if it absolves somebody, you know. We have probably never been in a situation really in my lifetime, where there has been so much tribalism with politics. You know, even back in the 70s and the 80s, you know, we were basically all Americans. The only time that it really popped up that you had these political affiliations was around Election Day. We just kind of lived our lives, and we just all, you know, we were all Americans. You know, of course, there was a small segment of people that kind of lived and breathed through it all. There wasn't the partisan politics they are today, and I think social media is to blame for a lot of it. There are a lot of people, if you go look at their, you know, somebody follows you on Twitter or whatever, and you go look, and everything in their bio is about their political affiliations. You know, I remember years ago, I believe it was Lloyd Benson that said, if two people agree on everything, only one person's doing the thinking. And there are a lot of people that have this sense to belong. And I don't know what's missing in their lives. And I'm not going to sit here and try to diagnose it or judge it or anything like that. But there are a lot of people, they feel a sense of acceptance and a feeling of belonging in their political party. And this time of year, and it'll be terrible for the next 4 months, we'll have to deal with this like on Facebook. And there'll be all these people sharing these blog posts that are completely false. There'll be all this false political commentary that's out there. But what's so interesting to me, and I think when you can take a step back a little bit and try to be objective, the news networks on both sides are really kind of the enemy of the people. Because of the fact that they want to spin everything. You know, it's like, okay, well, you watch this particular news network, well, you're going to get that political party's spin on something. And then it gets regurgitated on social media. You watch this network, you get the polar opposite. And my hope is that maybe we can all take a deep breath. You know, a man lost his life over the weekend. And, you know, as I had dinner last night with friends, my friend Chad said, you know what? What a way to go out. And what he's talking about is the man reportedly, when the shots rang out, got his wife and his daughter down, and he covered them in an attempt to save them from harm, and essentially lost his life doing so. Now, for many of us, we're not going to die in such a heroic fashion, but I think that's really where the focus of this should be, is on the people that really got hurt. Listen, I'm a skeptic about a lot of things, and my children will tell you as much. We have a very, very spirited fam chat that I like it better when it's just pictures of my grandgirls, right? Or hearing what my kids are up to these days, or they're traveling, or... You know, Ian went to the Governor's Ball Music Festival in New York, paid his own way, shared some pictures, and it makes me proud, you know, living life. But sometimes it gets political. You know, of course, my youngest daughter, Mia, was a political science major, getting ready to go to law school, take the LSAT and go to law school. And so sometimes these things pop up. But I have always been a person that, and maybe this is to my own detriment, maybe it's a character defect of mine, but I never believed the first report, ever. You're going to have to give me more evidence. I'm not just going to take your brief as the gospel. And so I guess in many respects, I'm a conspiracy theorist in that respect. And I always think there's more to the story than they're telling us. You know, it's just like, to kind of equate that to sports, you know, as soon as there is a job opening in college sports, there's a leading candidate, right? And you know that's not coming from the search firm. You know that's kind of coming from the school. It's coming from an agent. The only time in my lifetime, in my career, that the first name has been correct is when it was Todd Grantham, when he became our DC under Mullen. Even look back to this past year's baseball coaching circle. Right? How that cycle played itself out. Everybody's like, Tony Vitello is going to be the coach of Texas. Well, he's not. Jim Schlossnagle is. Now, Schloss obviously was a candidate because of his relationship with Chris Del Conte. But there were a lot of people that were telling you, they had it on good authority, that Tony Vitello was going to be the coach of Texas. Yeah, I go all the way back until when we fired Sylvester Croom. The initial ESPN report, I mean, as they're announcing the firing of Croom, they're saying that Derek Dooley is the leading candidate for the job. Not only was he not the leading candidate, he wasn't a candidate at all for the job. That's important to understand. And so you got to understand, just like when it comes to coaching searches, a lot of times the very first stuff that we get is to kind of frame up the narrative a little bit. A lot of people that want to be associated with that. And so we all saw what happened as former President Donald Trump was struck by a bullet, and immediately, as soon as it happened, some people were like, oh, that's going to be a blood pack. It was all staged. The thing that I would suggest with all that stuff is let's not jump to conclusions ever. But the fact that we had a political candidate in our country shot is probably evidence that all of us maybe needed to realize that things are really running off the rails. And so I don't care who you vote for. I just hope that you vote. I'll never tell anybody how to live, tell anybody how to vote. I am a live and let live person. I don't want anybody to impose their beliefs and values on me, and I try not to do the same thing for them. Now, in my 20s, I was much, much different. If you didn't agree with me, then you were a complete moron. And maybe you were, but it was wrong of me to feel that way. And as I've matured, that's the thing that I've learned, is that, I have to open up the door to the possibility that I may be wrong about something. And I don't see much of that, like in the social media traffic about politics. And so this isn't really a political statement of sorts. It's just that, when we come here, it's a break from all that stuff. But sometimes it gets thrust into our social media feed. It gets thrust into our discussions with our families. And there's a lot of people out there that have some very strong opinions. And I would suggest that many of them are incorrect, no matter what side of the aisle they're from. I think there's a lot of benefit in being a moderate at times, kind of being in the middle. But this was a very historic day in our nation's history. And in our little Jeans Page group text that got brought up, is that we've seen a historic day today. And I think most of us were kind of still in shock and trying to make sense of it all. And so my hope today is that maybe everybody involved in all of the discourse, right? Because there's no point in you and I being adversaries because we see a social issue differently, right? I mean, we can disagree and remain friends. And I wish we could get back to that. I'm not a fan of the cancel culture. I'm not. But I am a fan of people being held accountable. If you are in a professional job, I'm not talking about necessarily the media, but when you go out there and you put your opinions out there, I think your opinions should be respected. But when you go out there and you spread hatred and division, the rent's going to come due. And that needs to be understood. I just think, of course, it's a much smaller scale, but the vitriol is on the same level, like the state Ole Miss thing. And I think things right now are pretty peaceful. A lot of it's because we're not winning, right? When we're winning, it's incredible how vicious and bitter the whole thing gets, right? But even with that, even the things that I went through, over a football game, incredible. And I look back in hindsight sometimes, like when I go tell the story, I'll be on a podcast or I'll go speak somewhere and I'll sit and talk to people. People can't believe it. And because of the fact it's been a few years now, I look back and there's some parts of it I have difficulty believing too. And it happened to me. You go back and you think, I can't believe this happened. I can't believe I had to speak to the FBI. I can't believe that we had somebody about to go before the grand jury for making death threats. And you can thank my wife for us moving on from that. She's a better person than me. I'm just going to tell you. Yeah. She, my wife is a good person. She's not perfect. She's a good person. And, you know, I'm an old boy from South Mississippi that, you know, I don't take too kindly to people disrespecting me. I don't. And I'm the kind of person, too, that I think probably the best euphemism I can use, you should have bought a rocket at my house, I'll drop a nuclear warhead on yours. That's how I've always kind of done it. You know, just we talk about, you know, walking quietly but carry a big stick. You know, I'm one of those kinds of people that there are some people that will tell you I'm not the person to mess with. I don't just mean that from a physical standpoint. I'm just not the guy to go to war with. I like peacetime, right? And so my hope is that everybody can take a step back from all of this rhetoric. And there are so many people out there that are trying to manipulate the American public. And I think sometimes we're all maybe too blind to see that. There are people that benefit from us being at odds. And they want to keep us at odds. And so there's always, as soon as something happens, they want to politicize every single issue because it profits them and keeps them in power. It's all a will to power. Every single bit of it is about power. It's not about me or you. We're just a means to an end for them. And you need to understand that. Everything about it is a will to power. Everything. I mean, do you honestly think that your favorite political candidate cares about you? They don't even know who you are. And then we see people out there on Twitter. And again, everything on their Twitter account or Facebook or social media accounts, everything is about politics. And, you know, years ago, when I was a young and enterprising young lad, and my plan was to major in English with an emphasis on political science and then go to law school. That was my plan. You know, I wanted to be a rock star, and then I thought, well, this isn't going to work out. But I guess even before that, I wanted to go to law school, and I wanted to be a lawyer, and I wanted to be involved in politics and things of that nature. And the older that I became, and the more that I saw all of that a little up closer, I began to realize that I don't know that I could be comfortable with this because I would have to compromise so much of my integrity. And that's not in any way to be critical of our politicians, right? I mean, there are some people out there that have a good heart and they're doing what they can for the American taxpayer. And I think about my dad. My dad worked 33 years for the United States Department of Agriculture for the Farmers Home Administration. He was the head of, ended his career as the head of inventory properties for the state of Mississippi. And so he got to see politics up close. And I used to always tell him, Dad, you ought to be state director. And he goes, no, that's a political position. And I don't want to be aligned with anybody. He said, my goal is to do the best job that I can for the American taxpayer. If I can save the American taxpayer some money here, save some money there, do a good job for them, ensure that I work all day, every day, and earn every dime that I make from the American taxpayer, that's been a good day. And I wish more people felt like my dad about that. I truly do. Because there's a lot of people out there, there's all this ego and bravado and things of that nature. And so, again, I'm not taking a stance on this whole thing other than the fact to say that this was wrong. And I think the people that are out there trying to politicize this are wrong. And I think we have a chance to be right. We have a chance, no matter who you vote for, if we can kind of stamp down some of this fiery social media rhetoric and understand that there is something more important in our lives than our political affiliations. Matter of fact, just about everything is more important than that. You know, after we're all dead and gone, these same two groups that just have different people leading the charge are going to be squabbling over the same old issues. And so I just want to live my life, and I hope that that's what you'll do as well. And I know everywhere I go, there's people that, you know, they have this and they have that. Listen, I love American patriotism. I'm a patriot myself. I'd rather live in America than anywhere else. But I think it's time for everybody to, hey, let's kind of take a step back here. What's best for the country? You know, not necessarily what's just best for my political party. What's best for the American people? And that's where I think our focus should be. And that's probably the last time you hear me talk about anything political in the show for a long, long time. But it would be silly not to comment on it after what's happened, but due to the historic nature of this, no matter how you feel about either political party or political candidates or whatever, I see all the jokes, and some of them are funny, but not about the loss of life or potential loss of life. That should always be, in my feeling, should always be off the card. All right, if you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com, and you can order the pre-order Duty Noble, the Duty Noble book, Life and Times of Duty Noble. And everything's been laid out now. I think with they'll finish up like one or two things today, and then pretty soon that file will be heading off the print. Takes about 6 weeks. We were talking late August, early September. I think it's fair to say now it's going to be September. We're in the middle of July now, but we don't have the release date yet. We could get it. I'd love to have it for that first football weekend, but we don't know that. Not expecting it. And so just wanted to share that with you all. And listen, come float with us. I've had a lot of Boneyard listeners that have come in and floated. I can tell you, it's like delivering flowers. Everybody's happy, right? It's so interesting. People come in, they're not sure what to expect, and then I see them afterwards, and it's like, oh, my gosh, what an amazing experience. If you have questions about it, you can find us online, of course, at TrueRest.com, but TrueRest of Starkville on Facebook and Instagram. My lovely wife is running the show. You can call her at 662-268-7601. And she's a registered nurse, too. And so she can answer any medical questions you may have or tell you what to ask your doctor. All those things are important. And so I share that with you because we love – summertime is a good time. It's not as busy in town. And there are a lot of times your favorite spot may get booked. The summertime is a good time. So, and if you wanted to try it, hey, come make a trip to Starkville and come float with us at True Rest. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.